In a world of talented food producers, experimental brewers, keen distillers, personable servers and highly skilled chefs, there are the restaurateurs. The people who may not be the face or voice of a restaurant or cafe, but are the brains and driving force behind the business.
Las Tapas de Lola opened a short few weeks before we emigrated from Ireland to London in 2013, and that brief dalliance with their incredible Spanish dishes, delicious wine and exceptionally warm service was bliss, but not enough. And we spent almost every trip home making a beeline to book a table. Anna and Vanessa have been unapologetically devoted to their vision of what Lola's was to become, and now it's stayed the course and even, in ways, paved its own path. So we caught up with both of them to find out how one creates one of Dublin's best loved and popular restaurants whilst getting to know them a little bit better.
I'm Vanessa Murphy, the beautiful Irish kind of half of the family. Background to Vanessa, well, background to both of us, we met about 10 years ago. I was working with a property developer and we were actually refurbing a lovely hotel down in West Wicklow. And prior to that, my background was marketing and business development. So we worked with various number of companies, headed up marketing and Davy Stockbrokers, worked in outdoor advertising at one point in my life. So there's a good variety of positions over my career.
My name is Anna Cabrera, and my background is food and beverage. I love, as you will notice by my tummy, I love food. I love wine. I love making people. One of the things that we enjoy more is making people happy. And the only way we knew how to make people happy was through their mouth. I came to Ireland 17 years ago, and I had no word of English. So I started working in the industry. I started working in Bewley's in Mary Street many years ago, which I loved it. I met great friends in there. And that's the beginning of my Irish career. I started in there. I learned English. I learned the Irish way. And absolutely loved it. And then 10 years in hotels for the Clarion Group. I moved from one hotel to another. I work in Le Hinch also, opening a hotel there. And then finally, after Carlton House, I moved to the Wicklow Hotel and met Vanessa. And then life kind of, the skies opened then. It was just a match made in heaven, because she has the business hat and the marketing behind her, and it's a great drive for the business. I mean, like, and we both love what we're doing, and I have the experience work behind the bars and work in hotels and the industry and the many things that you cannot, you know, you don't know you have them until you open your own business, and then you, no, don't put the coffee machine in there, or don't put the plug in there, because that's, you know, like, you speed the service, and there's many things that you can put in place, you know, when you have worked many years in the industry and you love what you do also.
Could you explain a bit more about the Irish way, as you said?
Is it just understanding that grand is a word for everything?
No,
or
it's the peppering over English of words that we Irish seem to use a lot in our sentences, which I won't use in this podcast.
No,
but
No. I suppose the Irish way, well, for me, putting vinegar in the chips was a big thing, you know, at the very beginning. It was a big shock, but now I put vinegar in my chips.
I don't.
No. You've been converted.
Yeah. No, I suppose it's the service industry in Ireland 17 years ago, probably 15 years ago. I learned a lot. I met a lot of fantastic people, Irish and non-Irish, and I started enjoying basically the service industry. You know, I suppose, like, I was very young, I was growing up, you know, and you take that as a career and you just enjoy it. And Irish people has a different way to do things, like you guys know, you know, and it's a fantastic way to learn, you know, and to grow up, which is a great.
Well, you spent a lot of your youth working in your aunt's bar as well. Back
I did, home. I did. When I was studying, I need the extra money. So my aunt is one of the Lolas. She always had a bar in my hometown all her life, And when I was very little, I was always behind the bar helping making coffees and, you know, like, and when I grew up, when I was 16, 17, and I started, my aunt was like, okay, you take, you know, 5 nights a week. And I was running the bar, you know, behind the bar. It was like a neighborhood bar. And that's what we always wanted to open here, a neighborhood bar. I suppose that was the beginning. Also, you know, my love for food was my dad. He was bringing us every weekend, you know, in the morning, waking up in the morning and going to the, you know, 2 hours drive because they make the best sausages, and then the next village beside was the best bread, and then we all drive home on Sunday, you know, put the wooden board in the table and start cutting the bread and start cutting the sausages. And that's how my love for, you know, the best, you know, you need to travel to, you know, you don't, sometimes you don't have things around you, so you travel to get the best. And that was my dad, you know, taking us for trips and bringing us to the best places, I suppose. It still does, you know. It's not the best places, not the most expensive places, because they weren't. But, you know, the places where the flavor was there and the tradition, I suppose, like, it was there.
I think you've probably brought the Spanish way to Ireland.
Well, one thing that we were completely sure we didn't want to do, we didn't want to change the food that we do. I mean, like, this. In Spain, there's millions and thousands and millions of different recipes, like in any other country. So, you know, it's no one way to do a Spanish omelette. It is, you know, every grandmother has, millions. You have many millions of grandmothers out there. So everybody does different. So we brought what I grew up with, I suppose, and Vanessa, you know, brought a lot of recipes from her youth in Spain, because she's been in Spain for over 30 years also.
Years onto me.
No, I'm not. we didn't want to change what we do for anybody's palate, basically. We just believe what we do, and there is taste for everything. Some people like it, some people don't like it, but it's not our fault, you know. As I said, there is no one dish the same. You know, you can do patatas a lo pobre, you know, like millions of different ways. So we do it this way, you know, but we think like we like it. And
so here we are, sitting in Las Tapas de Lola before it opens for busy service. And it's those little details that you might not notice when the room is bustling and busy. It's the artwork, the tile surround, the gorgeous colour scheme, wonderfully stocked bar. How small and cosy the tables are.
Lola's not only brings a Spanish feast to the Dublin table, but it also magically recreates that convivial Iberian atmosphere in the heart of the Irish capital. We wondered if there was a blueprint that they used for styling this space, a secret little spot in Spain that they derived particular inspiration from, or whether it was just all happenstance.
I think you find a lot of things in Spain in different bars. I don't think you find one specific bar that you that we went and we wanted to replicate it. I think the fact that we have the color, the tiling color is, you know, it's a classic feel, it's a traditional feel. Then the paintings, you know, all the posters, all the family photos, you know, the colors, the I say, you know, the tiling behind the bar, maybe it's an overall feeling. Mm-hmm. And also because we have to play with the space, the mini space that we have.
I suppose what we wanted to do as well when we designed this unit, we were 2.5 years on the planning, so we put the design in place 2.5 years before we actually did it. And we didn't change one thing, not one thing. We walked into the unit, we got the feel for it, we fell in love, it gave us this real, there was a homey feel to it that we loved. But most important for us is when we were opening Las Tapas de Lola, we were opening it with a view to being here 20 years' time. And we were opening it with a view to, you know, any interiors we were doing would be very traditional. You know, and the idea is, you know, there's lots of interior, if you'd like to call them fads and stages and this, that and the other, that happen, a lot of which I adore and love. But Lola, we wanted it to be a little bit old school, you know, and we were doing traditional tapas, so we needed to be traditional in our interiors. So we just wanted to keep it simple. And you'd go into so many bars in Spain, whether it's Barcelona, Seville or whatever, and you'll find these bentwood chairs everywhere. You'll find the wrought iron bases. You'll find this type of tiling. You'll find the family photos, very important to us, which somebody said when we opened that we bought them at a market in Spain. I was like, how dare they? That's our family.
How dare you?
But all those kind of things were what we wanted to do to I suppose, maintain, you know, I suppose longevity of the restaurant. You know, that people will come. We have Americans, for example, and Canadians who came to us when we first opened, and they come back here on holidays once a year, every year. And when they come in, they just love the idea that they walk in, they remember what table they sat on, they remember la la la, and that is, you know, I hope they will be coming with their kids, and their kids are then coming, you know, for another 15, 20 years. And that's why we did the interiors with the way we did them.
I suppose that's the memories that we have. I mean, like when we go traveling, we don't go to fancy bars, or we don't go to modern bars. When we go to Spain, because we have a traditional bar, traditional restaurant in Dublin, we just look for the essence. You know, we just look for the bar that is full of old people, you know, like that they just standing at the bar, you know, like metal bar or whatever, and just basically it's a social space in there. And we wanted to, in Ireland it's a social space, a bar is a social space, so we are a social space also. You know, we bring the food to the table, we want to make people happy, but it's just, you know, you come here and we want you to be happy.
The way you guys work, and we've known you for quite a number of years, that you go to Spain with your team quite regularly.
We do. Yes.
And I think that is the most loveliest thing ever, because we want to come along with you sometime.
Still no waiting for the invite.
Yeah. It's very rare from the sounds of things as we go around the industry, because you want to keep it as authentic as possible. Is that right?
Yeah, it's. I suppose the trips to Spain are twofold. Is one, we like to kind of reward our staff for the work they're doing, because they're like a machine in the kitchen. They're amazing, and on the floor as well. So there's an element of reward, and then there's an element of, you know, we're not perfect, you know, so we can always be refreshing our recipes, we can always be trying new things, we can always introduce new things. I mean, we have 54 dishes on the menu. It was the first thing we did before we opened the restaurant, is we wrote the menu and put all our favorite dishes down. And then we spent a lot of time traveling all over Spain trying to find our favorite version of each dish. So each dish has a little story behind it, as a little bar down a back street somewhere in the middle of nowhere in Spain. But you know, you can't sit on your laurels. You know, we, for example, our pig's cheek that we opened with, we opened that with just the pig's cheek done in its own juices and done in its own kind of sauces. And then we went to San Sebastian a year later and had cheek up there, and they served it with the beautiful reduction of red peppers and the what we kind of call the picada, the parsley and oil. And it just transformed the dish. So we came back and we did that, and there were no complaints. You know, everybody went, wow, you know, So we don't like to sit on our laurels, but we also love when our staff, the majority of our staff are Spanish, and we love when they go home too, you know, because they go home, they come back with ideas, but they also go home and they come back quite surprised, because I suppose, as Anna says, the Irish way, the level of service in Ireland I think is very high, and this team that we have brought that level of service to the front door, you know, and to the back door to the kitchen as well. Some people have a view of Spanish service. If you go to Spain, it's just like Ireland. You can have great service or you can have atrocious service. And we like our staff to see, you know, that they're doing an amazing job. You know, and that's why we bring them over to Spain, for two reasons. One, to say, pat on the back, look, you're doing a great job. And two, to, I suppose, inspire them a little bit. That's the main reason we do it. And we change every year who comes away and where we go and what we do. We went away to Galicia last year, myself and Anna, and loved it so much that we came back and we brought our manager and one of our chefs over, going, you have to try this. And we all went wine tasting, and we ate so much seafood that I nearly didn't want to see another crab before, again in my life, or octopus, but it was absolutely stunning. But it opened their eyes as well. That pays in abundance, you know. You can't beat that, you know.
It's a learning experience for everybody, I suppose.
Yeah, for all of us. You know, the day we're not learning is the day we might as well close the doors of the restaurant.
So you've been open now since April 2013.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's 5 years. And we're just before we started recording, we were discussing how we moved to London around June, July of that year. And annoyingly, we lived, and I'm pointing out the window down the road.
The prawns coming over to your window. It's grand.
Drawing us in.
It was hell. And then obviously we had a separation period because of that. But we dropped in as often as we could. 5 years in the restaurant industry in Dublin, it's probably, I could probably do a whole podcast just on things you've learned in that time, because, you know, many don't weather that storm very well, others close very quickly or anything. You've still been blessed, really, haven't you? You've got returning customers, great reviews and everything.
I think if you saw our business plan before we opened 5 years ago and then what happened after that, there are like two different businesses. We really didn't expect the response that we got. I mean, we were opening, as Anna says, a neighborhood restaurant, and I always love Anna's expression, you know, we're here, we do traditional tapas, we fry potatoes and we fry sausage, you know, we're not out with foams and smoke or anything like that. And the day we opened, we were gobsmacked by the response, but we were so humbled because we didn't realize it was going to have that much of a reaction, you know, and that much of a response. So we kind of hit the ground running from day one. You know, maybe we didn't do a lot of things right maybe at the beginning, and then, you know, you learn a lot from that as well. I mean, we have at the beginning we had to respond quite quickly to what reaction we were getting, so we had to, I suppose, look at our booking system and how we do that. So we ended up having sittings between 5, 7 and 9. A lot of people weren't very happy with that, but the only way we could respond was to do that type of kind of booking policy. And I suppose a good example is we have a lot of regulars who come over from like Howth and Clontarf and Skerries, and we have one gorgeous couple who come all the way up from Cork who arrived at our door last Saturday, and I said, where are you staying tonight? And they said, no, we're only up for dinner and then we're going back. So the difference is, as I say to these people, if you didn't have a booking, would you come all the way over on a February Tuesday night when it's pouring rain? And they go, no, we need a booking. So things like that took a while for customers to get used to. It took us a while to get used to as well, because we didn't expect it. But we've had a wonderful response. We have regulars have been coming into us since day one. And they're no longer regulars, you know, they're our friends now at this stage. And we have the whole scenario where we've one couple who we all fell madly in love with each other, but they've just bought recently down in Cadiz, and like every time we see them, they're like, when are you coming down to stay with us? You know, so, and we have our Cork couple who are constantly, we're going to a cousin's wedding at the end of September, and they're like, you're coming to us to stay afterwards, you know. So while we call these people regulars, they've actually become friends, you know. And we've a gorgeous couple, two, who told us we were only open, I'd say, a wet year, and they have a painting of our restaurant, the front of our restaurant, on the wall of their hallway. And I get goosebumps every time I think of these things, you know. And we just never expected this. You know, this was something that, you know, makes me cry on the floor when I hear these things, and I have to run blubbering back to the bathroom. But it's I suppose what we always said is, the day we open the doors of this restaurant, we open the doors to our home. You know, and that's the only way we could do what we did and do what we do. You know, as we have new staff coming in, you know, we're trying to pull back a little bit, because that was the one thing we have learned, is we have to delegate because we can't do everything. Training our staff to remember, guys, this is your home. This is you having a party with your friends. So when they come to the door, make them feel that, you know, and when they're inside, give them that experience, because that's what Lola is all about.
In terms of the menu, obviously it's long and expansive and has lots of amazing things. Is there anything on there that is the most iconic thing you serve, or your favourite?
I'd say we have a couple. Our two octopus dishes fly out, you know, and nobody ever thought with the Irish palate that when we put octopus on the menu that they're one of our biggest sellers. And then our bomba de Barceloneta, the spicy meatball, is become a bit of a signature dish, as well as the pig's cheek. You know,
goat cheese.
As the goat's cheese,
I'm a meat. I love meat. I love chorizo and I love black pudding. You know, I love the bread. The bread is very important also. So,
but little things happened. Like we had for 4.5 years, we had patatas a la pobre that Anna referred to earlier, which is layered potato with layered Spanish black pudding and roasted peppers on top. It was a fault of mine from a marketing perspective. But as our description on the menu, I had layered potatoes with morcilla and roasted peppers, morcilla being the Spanish for black pudding. Now, we had a dish up above it that said morcilla, and then underneath said Spanish black pudding, so I didn't click. And I couldn't understand why it wasn't selling. You know, potatoes and black pudding, I'm Irish, it's just like a match made in heaven. But about 6 months ago, we changed the morcilla to Spanish black pudding, and now we just can't make enough of it. it was a simple change to the menu. And then people are like, oh my God, you know.
And you would think you would get lost with 50 something dishes in the menu, but as quick as we changed that word, just start selling like massively, like we can make enough actually.
Yeah. But everybody loves, I mean, the traditional dishes for the Irish are gambas al ajillo, calamari, patatas bravas, albondigas. And nearly every table that comes in will order an element of that. But for example, with the calamari, we put puntillitas, which are the little squid tentacles, and we've seen so many of our customers migrate from calamari to those, and now they only order those.
Including you.
Including me. Yeah. And because I have, for years I suffered with a fear of fish, as in I couldn't even go past a fishmonger's in a supermarket without having to run to the other side.
Yeah, you kind of still can.
Okay, thank you. And I... Every time you ever had anything with squid and tentacles, I'm like, put them away from me, put that. And then we were here a couple of weeks for the Spanish wines, and it went in front, and you went, eat it.
I said, you need to try.
Just try them, and I finished the plate.
But you know what we quite often do, and we do it with a lot of customers, is if, you know, we'd give recommendations on the menu, because it's 54 dishes, so a lot of customers come in, and if it's their first time, they get a bit daunted by so many dishes. So we'd give recommendations, and sometimes, you know, you'd have a customer who'd go, there's no way I'm trying pulpo. And I just, out of the joy of just wanting to convert somebody, I go into the kitchen and I come out, just a little taster of it, put it down the table and say, just try it. And when they try it, the next time they're in, they're ordering it, you know. And that's what I suppose both of us love to do is, you know, we're here, it's a traditional bar or a traditional restaurant. There's nothing fancy about us. But there's a lot of dishes there that aren't wouldn't be on a normal menu around the country. But there are a way of giving what our love of Spanish tapas are, because, you know, there's a lot of dishes on the menu that some people go, why do you have them? And we go, because we love them. Like, I'm not a big liver fan, but Anna adores liver. So there's a huge liver bloody tap on the... And I openly admit to people, listen, I'm not the liver one, it's Anna. So you want to talk to Anna? Talk to Anna about the liver.
Talk to the liver lady.
Yeah. But we've mollejas, for example, which are lamb sweetbreads, you know. And we have those on the menu. And people will go to order them, and we always say, have you had them before? And they go, no. And then when we explain what they are, they go, oh, we'll give them a go. And then people love them, you know. And that gives me more satisfaction than anything.
Are the Irish getting more adventurous in those 5 years since you opened?
We're a well-travelled nation, you know. We live in a small island off the west of Europe. So usually for us to go away, we have to get on a plane or a boat. And I suppose we opened kind of middle to end of the recession. So prior to that, a lot of people had traveled quite a bit. So there's a lot of people very familiar with Spanish food and with tapas. So I think we're a lot more adventurous than we give ourselves credit for. And a good example is we opened, and from day one, the octopus started flying out the door, which is a sign of that. So I think we're a little bit more adventurous than we give ourselves credit for. But again, it's not a thing of education, but it's a thing of trying to open people to new ideas. So people will come in. I mean, I do the same. We go to a Korean restaurant and we find four dishes that we absolutely adore, and we can't help but order the same four dishes all the time. So our only answer to order more was to bring my mum with me and my dad, and then that meant we could order more dishes. But it happens to everyone. You know, you find your favourites and you stick to them. So, you know, we give little tasters to people when they arrive, and we do that for a reason. It's more to say, you know, there's something else on the menu you might like to try. And I think the Irish are quite, you know, we did pig's ear as a special one time, and the Irish flew. They loved it, absolutely loved it, you know. And we've done a couple of some people might call rare and strange specials, which we like to do at the weekends. But it's our way of saying, look, there's other stuff as well, you know, and it's a bit of fun.
We could sit and talk to these two incredible women for hours, and we pretty much did. But we want to take a quick time out just to say a huge thank you to you for tuning in to yet another episode of Chew the Fat.
If you feel like supporting us and helping a little, yes, only a little, you can pledge your support via our Patreon page. From as little as a couple of euro or whatever currency you work with, you can help fund those little costs along the way that help keep this podcast 100% free to download, stream, and listen to again and again.
We love producing this and want to keep it up, and with the support of some loose change from lots of different people, we can ensure it stays that way. You can find us at Patreon, that's patreon.com/gastrogaze, where you can receive advanced listens to future episodes and even personalised content from us direct to you.
We promise any pocket money we make won't be all spent on tapas and Spanish wine at Lola's. though we might not be able to hold that promise. But back to the podcast, where we asked Anna and Vanessa how they found this property right in the bustle of Wexford Street / Camden Street, which is arguably the epicentre of everything cool happening in the Dublin dining scene right now.
We live 5 minutes walk from here.
So a handy commute was the main reason.
Well, it used to be a 5 minute walk before we opened the restaurant. Now it's about a 20 minute walk because we stop and we meet all our customers and neighbours and traders and suppliers. So, but it was the main reason we wanted to open here. We loved Wexford Street and Camden Street. It's quite a quirky street. Up until a few years ago, nearly every business on the street was an independently owned business. Now there's a few kind of multiples and people like that moving in, but we still have all the crazy sex shops and the massage and the charity shops, which add a certain, I hate to use the expression je ne sais quoi to the street, but they do, you know. And it's a street that we always adored. The unit itself used to be a butcher's beforehand. It was Morrissey's Daughters and Son, and everybody in Dublin, who if you mention a butcher's and mention a daughter, they'll know it was here, you know, because it was one of the few butchers that put Daughters and Son outside. It was always, you know, Son, Morrissey's and Son or whatever. So Morrissey's used to be our local butchers, and then they moved on, and we were very lucky. The landlord of the building was quite an understanding landlord, so we had to go for a change of use from retail to restaurant, and that took 2.5 years. So we were 2.5 years waiting for that. But our landlord, his view was, look, you know, I can take a punt on you, or I can open up another sex shop or another pound shop or whatever, and he decided to take the punt on us. So we were very lucky. But we also have the terrace space at the front, and that terrace space is the biggest calling card. Whatever month of the year, it's our calling card. You know, people, it just has that kind of cozy feel, and even in the middle of winter, you know, that terrace is packed, you know, and it just creates, we have the windows that open all the way back during the summer, so you have that inside-outside feel, so we loved it. But we opened 5 years ago, and there were very few, there's a lot of pubs, there was a lot of takeaways, and then there was the fantastic Green 19 up the road. Camden Kitchen was around the corner. We had Il Primo at the time around here. So there was, you know, a smattering of restaurants and restaurants that we used to live in before we opened. We never got to go anywhere once we opened. But since then, there's been so many other openings. And people ask us, you know, more openings, is that taking away from your business? And we're like, no, as long as they're good, it creates a destination. And it creates more of a, like, we know that if we can't get a table for somebody, we can say, try Green 19 up the road. Or if they vice versa. Or if they need to go for a drink while they're waiting for a table. We've loads of gorgeous bars now on the street. So from a street perspective, it's a real community, you know. And that's what's made it a big difference. And before, why we wanted to open. And now, 5 years later, why we'd never move from here.
Speaking of new openings, you just walked right into that one. Is there a Lola's too?
We do. We always wanted to have a little kid sister or a kid brother for Lola's. Whether it's a fully blown Las Tapas de Lola as this is, or whether it's a small little kid sister or kid brother, we have a couple of other concepts that we really want to do, which will all be Spanish themed. You know, so it'll be all under the Spanish umbrella. Our toughest thing at the moment is just trying to find location. And I know we were quoted recently in a newspaper article. It's the market has gone pretty hectic again. And it's gone hectic on all levels. It's gone hectic on from a commercial perspective, but also residential, which is a big problem for us, you know, retaining staff. Because, you know, we have kids here from Spain. They may be earning double, if not triple, what they'd earn in Spain. But they're giving away half of that, if not more, into rent, you know, and they're living in, in places that you wouldn't want anyone to be living in. So it's a double-edged sword. At the moment, we've been for 2 years trying to find a location, but we want it within walking distance to here, because we don't want to take our eye off the ball in either place, you know. So we want them to be close by, but also they can feed off each other, you know. And it's that nice idea of, you know, again, it's, you know, can't get a table here, maybe go down there, or, you know, while you're waiting to have a drink, have a glass of wine over there, or whatever that might be. But it means as well that we keep them together as I love clusters.
If there were three areas or places in Spain that you would say you have to travel to and eat, where would they be? Only three.
Vanessa's getting very excited. Top of my list is the Costa Brava, north of Spain, north of Barcelona, purely because Anna introduced me to the Costa Brava 10 years ago, and our life plan is we're going to retire there in about 20, 30 years. Anna, when I say 30, cries. But it's stunning, you know, all up towards Gerona and all up that area on the coast. You've got some of the best seafood you'll ever eat in your life. And then I suppose if you go across north into Galicia and you've got San Sebastian and Bilbao, the Basque region as well, absolutely stunning. Would be definitely worth a trip. And then Seville, we went to Seville 2 years before we opened Polis. And we made it back there this year for the first time since. And I hate to tell you, but we sampled 31 bars in 3 days. It was just stunning. Yeah. Well, now we went into each bar, now in fairness, and we said, what's your star dish? They give us the star dish. We explained what we were doing because it was all research. And sometimes we wouldn't eat the whole dish, you know. And in some bars, we were sharing a beer instead of having a beer and everything because you just couldn't do it. But it was pure. It was like a tapas marathon. And we were just blown away again in Seville, you know. So there's all over. There'd be kind of three.
I can't compromise to that because, you know, the beauty of Spain is like it's 49 million population. So there is good food. I mean, if you go central Spain, you eat like a king. If you like good meat, heavy wines, it's amazing. It's all over you. You get a beautiful. If you're lucky enough to have time to get a car or a van or whatever and to travel, you eat well everywhere. Everywhere, because one place has it, even the paprika, you know, the condiments. Another place have the jamon. Another place have, you know, the shellfish. Another place have the meats. Another place have. So everywhere has, you know, like, I think we're very lucky.
The Irish food scene in particular is all about provenance at the moment. Now, obviously, your menu is Spanish, and a lot of ingredients do come from Spain, but you're also very good at supporting locals as well. How do you do that fusion? How do you decide, you know, which is going to be the local Irish and which is going to be the Spanish?
Basically, everything that is freshly produced, so all of our vegetables, all of our fresh meat, anything from that perspective, we source locally. Okay, all our fish comes through all our local fish suppliers here. The only thing that we would bring in from Spain is anything that is Spanish orientated. Yeah. So we bring in the chorizo, we bring in the morcilla, we bring in the pimientos de Padrón come in from Pimientos Padrón or from Padrón. We, you know, anything that is specifically Spanish comes in from Spain, but anything that would be freshly produced, we get here.
I suppose for people who want to say recreate it at home as well, that's very easy. It's like, well, a lot of the ingredients are quintessentially Irish
that's
too.
That's the amazing thing, I suppose, in the last 5 to 10 years as well. You talk about the Irish palate. All you need to do is walk into any supermarket in Ireland nowadays or the small independent shops, and you just see the variety of food. And it's not just Spanish. I mean, most shops nowadays have a Spanish section, and they're selling everything from paprika to everything you possibly need to make a paella if you wanted to, for example, or, you know, your lovely sausages, they have everything across the board. But they have Thai, they have Vietnamese, they've everything, you know. So the Spanish palate from that perspective is fantastic, one. And the opportunity for people to cook at home. And I think a lot of people are doing more of that. You know, the amount of times we get people who send us emails going, can you give me the recipe for this or that or whatever? You know, it's great to see, you know, and it's lovely to hear as well. And I think, you know, we're seeing a lot more of, for example, men, which a lot of people thought, well, a lot of people in Ireland see tapas as a very female type of food. But we've seen from day one opening that not at all. It's a complete mix, you know, and nothing gives me greater joy than seeing a group of 8 men coming in here and just eating their way around the place. And I love it. But those 8 men then start asking about recipes and going home. And without being in any way sexist, Ireland has moved on quite a bit, you know, in 10, 15 years. You know, it's the men at home doing the cooking now. And it's great to see people like Liston's up the way or Fallon and Byrne. You know, if you want something that is in any way rare, go there, you know, or if you're looking for something rare vegetable-wise, you go across to Evergreen. Yeah. I mean, if you live in this area, which we do, you don't have to walk far to go and get the ingredients to make a fantastic, if you'd like to say, exotic or foreign dish.
Have you ever floated the idea of a cookbook?
We've talked about it. Yes. Yeah, we've taken part in a couple of kind of charity ones and put in odd recipes here and there, but we've talked about it, yeah, yeah. I think it's something that's kind of, I suppose, further down the line. We've so many things we want to do, But what we realized quite quickly, especially after the last 5 years, we were kind of in here 24/7, you know, 7 days a week, and it was days and nights we were in here, even though we only open in the evenings. But we're trying to create that time now and that headspace, because there's a list. You should see the list that we have in our office of all the different things we want to do. But it's more a case of we have to learn to delegate. as I never understood the expression, you can't buy time, until we opened Lola. And now I understand that expression extremely well. And you can't.
There's one very great similarity between the two sides of this table right now.
Yeah, there is.
So one couple, another couple. And you work together 24/7, if some cases probably 28 hours, 9 days a week. I'll be blunt, how the hell do you not kill each other? Because we haven't figured that one out yet ourselves.
We kill each other all the time.
Okay.
We kill each other all the time. We had one great manager who worked with us, and he said, Vanessa, you are, what did he call me? I can't remember what he called me, but he said, it's gas. He said, you can come in with a cloud in your face. And he says, the minute you open the door and you see your customers, you're like, boom, gone, different person. And you have to, because no matter what, you're spending 24/7 together, but when you open the doors of that restaurant or of Lola's here, it's like theater. You know, people are here for a reason. They've chosen you for their special occasion. You don't know what that special occasion is. It could be a birthday, it could be an anniversary, they could have lost their dog, you never know what it is. And we need to be there to give them what they're expecting, you know. So you can't let the personal ever enter onto the floor, is what we always say. But yeah, no, we kill each other permanently.
We do.
But I've got to answer it. Anna's a member of Spanish, so I have to put up with that kind of, you know.
Fiery temper.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying it as much now as the very start?
I think we realised that this is our livelihood, and that's what we enjoy doing. And yes, the answer is yes. It's a different feeling when we open at the beginning. It's a different feeling in the way of it's fulfilling a lot. At the beginning was like you didn't know how long it was gonna last, you know. But now it's 5 years later. It's like, oh my god, what have we done? It's amazing. No, it's amazing. And the feeling. I mean, like only last Saturday we opened for the first time for lunch, and we had a couple. And Brian was his name. He got emotional on the table with me. We were chatting about life and, you know, about the restaurant, about what we open, because they have a place in Spain like many other people does. And he just got emotional. I got emotional. I gave him a hug, you know. And that's 5.5 years later, you know. Like, so yes, we are still enjoying it. We couldn't do it if we didn't.
Anna has a lovely expression. Yeah. If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And the day we feel that we're working is the day we'll have to look at each other and kind of see what we're doing.
Absolutely.
But again, I suppose it goes back to what I was saying earlier. After 5 years, we've so many regulars who are no longer regulars. They're just actually friends and they're mates. And that, you know, when I see them come in, I get so excited. Or when I see them on the booking sheet, I'm like, woohoo! And we can't. I can't quantify it in any way, you know, to explain it, but that's what makes it worthwhile.
Yeah,
I get so excited when I see, you know, anybody, you know, whether they're people we know coming in or whether they're new customers coming in, and when we see them kind of practically dancing out the door, having had a lovely time, it just makes it all worthwhile. And then, you know, they say in business you should never take things personally, but when you have somebody who's not happy, then that just breaks your heart as well, you know, and you try your best to try and find ways to, I suppose, you know, sort that and fix that. But you know, we're open 5 years. We've had a lot of people through the door, the majority of which have been, you know, extremely happy, but they're extremely happy because we're happy too, you know. And if we're not happy, our customers aren't going to be happy. And we say that to our team as well. If they're not happy on the floor, the customers are going to feel it. And in the kitchen, if the guys aren't making the food with love and happiness and passion, the food will change. You know, it has to go, as we say, it goes straight through from the kitchen porter right up to the owners of the restaurant. Everybody has a role to play. And that role is to make sure that every single person who comes in and leaves that door leaves with a smile on their face, which is important.
And well fed.
It would be easy for Vanessa and Anna to make Lola's all about them. And yes, every time we asked a question, the answer always came back to pleasing just one person, their customer. They are the hardworking heroes behind the scenes, but these ladies will not take any credit.
That's right, they will quicker thank their staff bow to their chefs, champion their suppliers, and celebrate their customers before ever taking any thanks for themselves. Yet from our experience, it really is Anna and Vanessa who make this restaurant what it is. You can recreate Spanish cuisine and stylings anywhere in the world, but you cannot replicate these women who are passion and perseverance personified, warmth and wit in abundance.
Dublin is so much richer by having Las Tapas de Lola in it, and until Anna and Vanessa's plan to retire on the beautiful Costa Brava kicks in a couple of decades, we can't wait for everyone to fall a little more in love with Lola every single day.